morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see everyone this morning, and I know we're going to receive a blessing as we worship together. As we look at our announcements this morning, please notice that the poinsettia list of memorials and honors are in the bulletin to this point, the ones to this point. And then please keep the bulletin insert close by you, as the inside pages of the bulletin insert contains the liturgy for Holy Communion. Which I assume that everyone is used to the process now and picked up one of the sets as you came in. One very liturgical note somebody told me the other day. I was talking with someone, not in the church, but talking about these. And I said, you know, it's working well, except sometimes they're hard to, the wafer part's hard to open. And he says, well, that's why I carry a knife with me. So if you have a little pocket knife and you need to slit there where the wafer part is, go ahead. I think the Lord will understand. So if you can't get the wafer part open, go ahead. That's just one little tidbit I picked up somewhere along the way for what it may be worth. Looking at the announcements this morning, two announcements that did not make our bulletin this morning. Please be aware that we will be continuing the food drive and the toy drive through this week. It's my understanding that both the food bank and the Christmas Stocking Fund will be picking up their items Monday, but we will be receiving toys and food for through this week, and they'll be picked up on Monday. So please be aware of that if you have intended to give but have not. You please note again, it's December, as you were very much aware. For church financial records to reflect your giving in for this calendar year, we can only report back to you actual deposits that were made. So if there are any arrangements that you need to make just please be aware of that. The last deposit for 2020 will be made December 28th. And not to drag it out, but that's a good lead in. I just, as your pastor, want to thank you for your faithfulness. We are glad the church gave us some breaks on some expenses for the year as part of running the church. But also through your giving, the church is in a very, very good situation, a very solvent situation. And that's because you have been so faithful, even when we did not meet at all. You still continue to support the church. And I just want to thank you. That's one aspect that I don't have to give any consideration to, that some of my colleagues have to. And that's because of your generosity. And so I just want to thank you for that. Are there announcements that should be made this morning that were not? If not, it's a joy that the Lord has brought his people together. So let us gather and worship his most holy name. Gracious and loving Lord, we thank you that indeed you are with us. So as we gather now, we pray that our hearts and minds are in that place where you receive our thanksgiving and praise, and we receive whatever it is that you would communicate to us. As we proceed, we pray that this service is pleasing to your sight and hearing, and that it strengthens your people. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
When we first started this journey, when we first came back to in-person worship, I thought to myself, I cannot imagine worship without singing of hymns. And I didn't expect this to go on this long, but I certainly can't imagine the Christmas season without the singing of Christmas carols. So I set out to do something about that. And I decided that there were many hymns and carols that were not written initially to be sung. And our litany this morning is one of those. Angels from the Realms of Glory was written by a poet, not a musical composer. And it was written first as a poem and then set to music later. And in many ways, it is the archetypical Christmas carol. All the usual pageant characters are there. We have the angels who proclaim Jesus' birth. We have the shepherds tending their flocks by night, to whom the news was first given. And we also have the sages who left their homes and wandered following the star to bring the Christ child in presence. And all of them are invited. Come and worship, come and worship, come and worship Christ, the newborn King. Even the first fourth verse invites those sinners, saints in heaven, to bow before the altar and worship. But did you notice there's somebody missing? It's us. It's us nasty sinners here on earth, waiting for the time when we meet Jesus face to face. And we're waiting for God's mercy and grace. Aren't we invited too? Originally, the hymn had another verse. Originally, the hymn, which I suspect got left out over the years because it was a little bit harsh to our ears. So listen to it. Sinners wrung with true repentance, doomed for guilt to endless pain. But now listen. Justice now revokes your sentence. Mercy calls you, breaks your chain. And when you think about it, isn't that the message of Christmas? Isn't that the good news that the angels proclaim? That Christ came into the world to invite us. And even though we're sinners who rightly should be condemned, we've been pardoned and freed by God's mercy to come and worship Him. So let's join together. Let's listen to the poem and sing in our heads the song of the angels. Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth.
Come and worship.
Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King. Shepherds in the fields abiding, watching over your flocks by night. God with man is now residing. Yonder shines the infant light.
Come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King.
Sages, leave your contemplations. Brighter visions beam afar. Seek the great desire of nations. Ye have seen His natal star.
Come and worship.
Come and worship.
Worship Christ, the newborn King.
Saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear, suddenly the Lord descending in His temple shall appear.
Come and worship. Come and worship.
Worship Christ, the newborn King.
Today is our second Sunday in Advent. As a reminder, We relight the candle of hope, telling us that Jesus is the hope of the world. And now, today, we light the candle of peace. Luke 2 says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." First and foremost, God is glorified because this child is born. Second, peace is spread everywhere this child is received. God's peace goes out to all, but only the people who receive Christ and trust Him as Lord and Savior will experience the peace He brings. Jesus has come to bring peace among God's people. He wants us to pursue this peace and enjoy it. If we don't have peace with Christ first, all other experiences of peace will be superficial and temporary. Philippians 4:7 tells us, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Let us pray. Gracious God, grant that we may find peace as we prepare for the celebration of our Lord's birth. Let us remember that you and you alone are the giver of lasting peace. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.
As we go to prayer this morning and share our joys and concerns, I would just want to highlight what everyone is probably already doing. Praying for the safety and success of the vaccine that seems to be on the horizon. God has given humanity the knowledge to be able to develop these medical advances. We just pray that when it's given on a widespread basis, that it is indeed safe and effective, and that will be the beginning of the end of this journey that we have been on. Are there joys or concerns that should be voiced that were not? If not, let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, this is the day that you have made, and we do rejoice and are glad in it. For you woke us up this day. You led us to this holy room. And so we pray that as we spend these few moments in this place with one another, that regardless of what else may be going on in our lives at this time, that for a few moments, all of our heart, mind, soul is focused on you. For gracious Lord, we know that if we are reminded of who you are and praise you for your goodness, your faithfulness, your power, your strength, your forgiveness, your callings, and we remember whose we are the sheep of your pasture, then when we do leave these grounds, and we enter into everyday life, life's responsibilities, opportunities, and challenges, we pray that having been in your special presence this day, that whatever this week may hold, that we will encounter it. Be it positive or negative, we will encounter it in a Christ-like way. And it's because of your love, your faithfulness, your strength, your power. We confidently bring before you names and situations that you already know. We called no one's name this morning, but Lord, you know our prayer list. And you know names and situations upon our hearts. We pray that your healing touch will be upon each and every one according to your will and your wisdom as we trust you. For we know that every answer will be according to your will and your wisdom because you love each one far more than we ever could. And gracious Lord, we do pray for this vaccine that seems to be coming out. We pray that you give those who make such decisions the wisdom to move as quickly as they should for the eradication of this virus. At the same time, Lord, we pray that you give them the wisdom to not move too fast, that if it is not yet safe, you will slow them down. And Lord, only you really know that. And so we trust even this vaccine to you, but thanking you for the knowledge that you have given medical science to be used as your instrument for the miracle of the eradication of this disease and virus that plagues us at this time. And gracious Lord, we thank you as always for the freedom to worship you this morning, for the freedom to be in this congregation or another or none at all, Lord. That is our choice, and we just thank you for that freedom. And we know that that freedom is but a fantasy to so many around the world, but our way of life. And so, Lord, we pray we never take it for granted, nor may we ever take those for granted that protect that freedom. May your protection be upon those who protect us, your healing upon the wounded, and your peace upon the families who gave it all. And gracious Lord, we do thank you for the fellow family of God that gathers and worships and serves through Walker Church. We pray that as you have blessed us, we will be a blessing in this community and throughout the world. And when we leave these grounds, we pray that we are reminded that you are with us. Lead, guide, and direct our every thought, word, and deed, and bring us back that we will worship you and encourage one another. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we would pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Say together with us the Apostles' Creed, and you find that printed in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, thank you for your love and your gifts that you have lavished upon us. As your people have brought back to you some of those gifts that you lavished on them, we pray that your blessings continue upon both gift and giver, and that you will guide us as a congregation, that every penny that has been entrusted is used according to your will, furthering your kingdom in this community and throughout the world. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. Lesson this morning is Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What is there to say about Christmas that has not already been said? That's the quandary of attempting to present sermons and devotionals during the season of Advent and Christmas. So I searched for that story that would tell of Christmas in some way, particularly some warm, fuzzy way that you have never heard. I didn't find it. I searched the commentaries for some new twist that you may never have realized. I didn't find it. I did read, again, the two accounts of Jesus' birth. The Magi and star of Matthew and the shepherds and the angels of Luke. And something struck me. The first Christmas, that sounds funny, Christmas interrupted a lot of people. Now I know in Luke we have the Magnificat of Mary, but I have to wonder sometimes if in her more private moments if Mary really felt so highly favored. We have to remember the cultural issues of that time, of which you've all heard many times. Mary had not had the experience of the wedding yet. They had not had the wedding night yet. In Hebrew culture, she was not engaged, as we think of it. She was legally married. And God decides she's going to be the mother of Jesus. And the Bible says that the angel told her that she was highly favored by God. Considering all the cultural dynamics and all the possible risk to Mary, I wonder if she felt so highly favored in her private moments. The scenario is the same for Joseph. Plus, he has to come to grips with the message of the angel that his wife has been faithful. She is still a virgin. That she's pregnant because God created God's Son within her. It would take a very definite vision to convince me of that. Mary and Joseph's wedding plans were definitely interrupted in a major fashion. And I imagine the Magi were living in comfort. And then their lives were interrupted by seeing this star, and they pursued that star for perhaps as long as 2 years. King Herod was interrupted both from his sleep when the Magi came knocking at the palace door, and then his whole sense of security was interrupted when he hears a new king has been born. And the shepherds were minding their own business, watching their flocks by night. And let me interject here. It was not a lazily sitting there watching the stars, isn't this a beautiful night type of thing. In Israel at that time, they still had lots of lions and tigers and bears, oh my. And they were on the lookout for the predators. They were watching their sheep by night when all of a sudden the darkness is shattered and angels announce the birth of Jesus, followed by the heavenly choir. And maybe this is just me. But even the planned, wanted, safe birth of a child is an interruption to the household. So in many ways, Advent and Christmas season is still an interruption. The days between Thanksgiving and Christmas are different. Our normal, perhaps predictable schedules are interrupted. How many times will you probably hear, maybe not as much this year with all the crazy COVID stuff going on, but typically at Christmas, how many times do you hear people say, "I sure will be glad when we finally get back to normal"? Our lives are interrupted. But may I offer to you this morning that whether these interruptions are positive or negative will depend upon our perspective. It was negative for Herod, even more so than he ever imagined. It was unsettling for Mary and Joseph. It was a joy for the Magi. And the angel proclaimed to the shepherds that this interruption was one of good news for everybody. I am glad for the interruption myself. I'm one of those crazy people. And Sally was very gracious this year for me. She put the Christmas tree up on November 1st. And that's because I asked for it. Some folks say that's overkill. For me, I am glad to see Advent and the Christmas season come every year. I'm glad for the interruption of normal life. And it's good for families to come together, though, of course, this year it's going to be might have to be adjusted depending on the size of one's family, etc. But it's good for families to come together in ways that we don't always do the rest of the year. It's good for friends to come together, again, adjusted for this crazy year, but it's good for friends to come together in ways we don't normally do. It's even better when the family of God gathers in various services and events. And we are praying that next year we will be able to do so as we've been accustomed. And it's good to be interrupted and reflect upon God's love and the extent to which God went to express that love. So near the end of every year, Christmas comes and invades our life. For many, the interruption is like that of Herod. The flurry of activity and obligations, as some see it, makes them feel out of control. Like they are no longer the king of their life. They've been dethroned because even in secular life, the holiday season, as it's come to be called, throws everything out of balance. But I hope we are more like the shepherds. I hope that our lives and predictable schedules are invaded by remembering the good news that our Savior is born. I hope that our lives are interrupted so that we remember how much our Heavenly Father loves us. I hope our routines are interrupted to remind us of how special and dear our families are, regardless of our proximity to each other. I hope our lives are interrupted to remind us of the love shared with brothers and sisters and friends in Christ. I can't speak for you, but for me, after a year of craziness, after a year of just sometimes trying to survive day to day, after a year of wondering if canned goods or toilet paper was going to be on the shelves when I went to the grocery store, I am ready for a holy interruption. Through the interruption of Advent and Christmas. Our heart has the potential of once again being filled up with the love, the hope, the peace, the joy of Advent and Christmas. So that as we do turn the page in a few weeks for another year, we will enter with confidence and assurance because of the faith and the presence of the one born at Christmas. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, you know us human beings. We like our predictability. We like our routines. We like knowing what's going to happen on what time, at what time, on which day. But Lord, this year has interrupted our lives. This year has reminded us that we humans don't predict and control things as we once wanted to think we did. And so, gracious Lord, I just thank you that you have brought us to this point. And I pray that you do interrupt our lives. You interrupt our routines. You interrupt our thoughts. So that through your holy interruption, we are renewed. And we are revived. And we are inspired. By the Christ. Who was born. On Christmas Day. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. This morning our liturgy for Holy Communion is found on the inside pages of your bulletin insert. Do remind you that everyone is invited to participate. You that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors and intend to lead a new life following the commandments of God and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent in the fullness of time to be a light to the nations. You scatter the proud in the imagination of their hearts, and have mercy on those who fear you from generation to generation. You put down the mighty from their thrones and exalt those of low degree. You fill the hungry with good things, and the rich you send empty away. Your own Son came among us as a servant to be Emmanuel, your presence with us. He humbled himself in obedience to your will and freely accepted death on the cross. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, he gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said,
Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offered for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. If we now receive the supper. Please stand for our closing prayer and benediction. Our most gracious and loving Lord, your people have received your sacrament. You have spoken to the heart of each person. You have communed with them as each needed to hear and speak with you. We thank you that when you left heaven to come to this earth, you knew what that entailed, and you did so willingly. And so we receive this sacrament this morning in praise and gratitude for your love and your sacrifice for each of us. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you.